Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Offense definitely improved. I think they went from like a 2.08 to like a 2.15, just like the goals for at 5-on-5 under Granato. That's a nice jump. And if you consider that, like I said, you have to consider the differences. Under Kruger, well, it's not the entire time. He had Taylor Hall. He had Jack Nicklaus for the most of it. Eric Staal was on it. And while Staal didn't produce, he still drove play to an extent offensively. So those were those three of their higher expected goal share players. So without them, they still had an improvement.
That's Chad DeDominicis from Expected Buffalo, who joined Howard and Jeremy last week on WGR. And in case you missed that, that's available in our on-demand section at WGR550.com. Brayton Wilson filling in for Andrew Peters and Craig Gervais this week, or for at least today, on the Instigators. They have an early Memorial Day weekend set ahead for them. Hope you're enjoying this rainy and wet and chilly Friday. Hopefully it'll get better for the weekend. It's expected to, so hopefully by the end of Memorial Day weekend, come Monday, things will be much nicer. I know I'm golfing for the first time on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm not an avid golfer like many of the other people here at the station are, like Jeremy and Nate Geary. But I always do enjoy going out there on the course from time to time and enjoying a nice round of 9 or 18 or however I get out there and enjoy golf. Very much like Sal, though, because I'm a lefty. So the saying, I guess, is that if you're a lefty, you're doing it wrong right off the bat.
Like, I'm also a lefty. Yeah. So I guess we're all three of us.
So you and
wrong.
Me, you and me are just we all do it wrong. Second, we grab a golf club. No. That's the wrong way to do it. You're doing it all wrong. Oh, well. Fight me, see what happens. Anyway, 803-0551, 888-550-2550 is the number if you want to reach us here. Coming up in a little bit, about 15 minutes or 20 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Cam Robinson from EliteProspects.com. He will join us to talk about the upcoming NHL draft class because, well, if, in case you have been sleeping under a rock or something, the Sabres are going to be picking with a top three pick in the 2021 NHL draft. Before I do that, though, there is a little bit of some Bills news that I'd like to pass along here that we'll discuss a little bit later on today. The Bills have just re-signed long snapper Reed Ferguson to a three-year contract extension, so that'll be talked about a little later. Sal's going to have something up on our website about that a little bit over at WGR550.com. So the Bills are locking up their long snapper to an extension. As their special teams is just, with Tyler Bass coming in last year as a rookie and impressing right off the bat. They also just added Matt Hawk to the picture as their new punter, replacing Corey Bohorquez. And now Reed Ferguson isn't going anywhere. He's going to be sticking around for quite some time. So the topic of the day today has been the Jack Eichel potential trade or no trade. And how that's going to impact the Sabres offseason. Do you believe that everything the Sabres are doing this offseason starts and ends with a Jack Eichel decision? I agree. I think that is partially the case. I don't think it necessarily has much to do with coaching decision. And as David Pagnotta pointed out while he was on with us last hour, He believes the Sabres are looking to make a final hiring decision on a head coach probably within the next month. Bruce Boudreau's name came up in conversation. Rick Tocchet's name came up in conversation. He also brought up a couple of other names. In case you missed it, go back on demand at WGR550.com. Franklin threw that up there so you can listen to David Pagnotta's comments. Or if you're using the app, you can use the rewind function on the Odyssey app and listen to it back there. You got 24 hours to listen to it at that point, so you'll have some time to rewind and listen. Getting connected with our fans here, we're going to do that right now a little bit, and it's brought to you by Bond, Schenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Time to get connected with our fans. Scotty on Twitter writes in that if we're not trading Jack or Sam, those kind of players are far too difficult to obtain. So here's what the Sabres need to do. Number one, hire Bruce Boudreau. The team needs credibility behind the bench, and he believes Claude Julien works here too. Number two, focus on goaltending. Look to Columbus because they can't keep both of their goaltenders, either Jonas Korpisalo or Elvis Merzlikins. And I really would love to add one of those goaltenders. I think that one of those two could be a viable option for the Sabres. Number three, trade Rasmus Ristolainen, and finally. I agree. I think the Sabres definitely need to move on from Rasmus Ristolainen, and it is just it's been three straight years. He's made the comments where I know changes are coming, and it's, you know, I know I'm probably one of the first. This year he says, I don't know if I want to be here for a rebuild, another rebuild. You just move on at this point. And number four, add a veteran defenseman, and he brings up David Savard. I know that David Savard was just recently acquired by the Lightning ahead of the NHL trade deadline, and I'm not sure how exactly he's done with the Lightning at this point. I think he's been injured for some time, but, I mean, David Savard is just kind of, I don't know, he's not one of those defensemen that just, like, really truly stands out to me, at least. He's not a guy that just seems like this guy is definitely a top four guy or a top three guy, top pairing guy. He's definitely an asset for any team that he's going to be a part of. He has played, just bringing it up here real quick, 14 games for the Lightning. No goals, no assists, -8. And this year with the Blue Jackets in 40 games, one goal, five assists, 6 points, -19. And the Lightning gave up a first-round pick for him. Hey, they win the Stanley Cup for a second straight year. The trade's absolutely worth it. It's a nice depth piece, but I just don't know about a David Savard-type player for this team. But, I mean, he's got 41 career goals, 125 assists for 166 points in 611 games. He's obviously not an offensive defenseman, and that's fine. Obviously, you have to have your all-around type of defenseman, your two-way guy, your defensive guy, or whatever. And just, I don't know if David Savard has ever struck a chord with me in being a guy that the Sabres absolutely need in free agency. But there'll be plenty of free agents out there. There'll be plenty of options for the Sabres. I mean, they could look to maybe acquire a defenseman, but we'll see. 803-0551, 888-552-550. You can connect in on the show this morning with us. Again, I'm filling in for the Instigators today. Everybody will be back here on the regular scheduled program coming up on Tuesday, as Monday we're off for Memorial Day. So for everybody out there, have a good Memorial Day weekend. One thing I want to bring up here real quick before we go to break and we bring in Cam Robinson from EliteProspects.com. I put out a Twitter poll earlier today asking you fans to fill out answer this question for me. What kind of head coach do you want to see behind the Sabres bench? There are plenty of options out there. We talked a little bit about those options. There's the Boudreaus. There's the Juliens. There's Don Granato, who's still in series contention. There's the Rick Tocchets. There's some of the college coaches like Nate Lehman. here are the options that I put out there. And we've gotten some responses, so we'll get some of those responses. But your first answer was a veteran coach like a Bruce Boudreau, a guy who has a lot of experience at the NHL, has, you know, a successful record, at least in the regular season, has plenty of playoff experience, even though Boudreau has kind of, you know, he's been so-so in the playoffs. His record, I believe, is sub-500 in the playoffs, but I'll digress from that point for now. 19% of the votes for veteran. Something new, like one of the college coaches, like a Nate Lehman. I really like Nate Lehman. I think he should be considered not only by the Sabres, but more seriously by other teams around the NHL. He's built a successful program in Providence. That's only got, well, 2% of the vote right now. The third option, stick with Don Granato, 39% of the votes. Obviously, we liked what we saw from Don Granato in the 28 games that he coached the Sabres, technically 27 because he had to deal with the one game where he's on the COVID list and Kevin Adams, but that's another story. So he had the team playing quite well in the games that he coached for the Sabres. The young players started to really come around. And some people think, all right, well, if that's the case, then, you know, why not just stick with him? See what he does for a full year or a full 2 years. Can he make it past 2 full years? I guess we'll see. But 39% of the people voted for that. And the fourth option, very fair to answer with this, I don't even know anymore. And I could obviously understand why you would say, I don't even know anymore. Because we've had kind of a little bit of everything with the coaching. Oh, we brought back Ted Nolan. That's great. He's a team guy, and, you know, he got the Sabres to the playoffs, and we had that magical run where we beat Ottawa in that 7-game series in the opening round, then we lost to Philadelphia in 5 the next round. But, you know, hey, a blast from the past. Nope, that didn't work out. Set up to fail. All right, we got Dan Bylsma coming in. Former head coach of the Penguins, Stanley Cup winner. Yeah, he's, you know, he worked with Sidney Crosby. Yeah, that didn't work out too well. Phil Housley, hottest name on the market. He's a guy who worked with, you know, the defensive group in Nashville when they went to the Stanley Cup final. He should be the answer. Nope, that didn't work out 2 years and done again. And then there's Ralph Krueger. You know, he's a guy who's a big-time leader. He's all about, you know, team first and being good with the players and having support, strong support system. That didn't work either. He didn't even last. He lasted a full season, but he only got like 98 games or something like that to coach with the Sabres. It's funny with with Ralph Krueger. He didn't get a full season with the Oilers, then got fired. He didn't even get a full season in his 2 years that he spent here with Buffalo either year. Didn't get a full 82-game season, and he got fired. So, poor Ralph Krueger. But there's some thoughts there for you with the coaching. And here's what I think. Here's what I think the Sabres should go with the coaching. I think it's either you stick with Don Granato and you let him and give him a shot, or you go with one of the college guys. And I brought up Nate Lehman, and he's really the only guy that I'd want. I don't know about Bruce Boudreau anymore. I mean, again, yeah, sure, he's going to come in and he's going to help maybe turn the team around and be more successful in the regular season, but what is he going to do in the playoffs? The last 3 years that he has spent in Minnesota, the team really just kind of middled around for most of the season, and they weren't great. They get to the playoffs, and they didn't play good either. Claude Julien, his most recent tenure in Montreal, didn't work out so well. Last few years with Boston didn't necessarily go so great. He got fired there. I'm more willing to take a shot on a guy like Nate Lehman, who's gone to Providence and has built himself a very good resume with that program. He's overall, I mean, he is the, I mean, he got to 100 career wins with the Friars. He was the fastest coach to do that. Overall, he's 106, 65, and 23. That's at least according to the Providence website. He's got a 606 win percentage with the Providence Friars. He has been named Hockey East Coach of the Year with the program already in his tenure there. He's developed quite a few players that have gone on to the NHL, including Jacob Bryson, who really established himself really well this past year, and I think is establishing himself quite well in the organization. In the NCAA, he has made appearances in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tournaments with Providence alone, an extra one with Union College before he took the job in Providence, and he's also made the NCAA Frozen Four twice. One time he won against Jack Eichel and Boston University in 2015, and most recently he made it with Providence in 2019 when the tournament was in Buffalo, and he finished third overall. That's a guy that I'm more willing to take a shot on because he's a guy that has developed a really nice culture with Providence, and I get it, college versus NHL, it's a little bit different, I understand, but at the same point, I'm looking more for a guy that's going to come in and build a really good culture, a sustainable culture that is about growing, developing, winning, and sustaining that success at the NHL level. And I believe that a guy like Nate Lehman, who has also won gold medal at the World Juniors this past year, he's over coaching for the U.S. at the World Championships right now. That U.S. team could win a gold medal there. They've been better from the start of the tournament. That's a guy who I believe could be one of those type of guys that comes in, establishes that culture. It may take one full season for him to kind of establish himself there. But once he gets established and he's another guy that just kind of gets and understands how younger players tick in the NHL, or not in the NHL, but just younger players tick in general, and how they work and how they operate playing hockey. And I think he's going to be able to be a guy that can connect really well with these players. And I think Don Granato showed that too, where he understands how those younger players tick. He understands how the older players tick and what it takes to sustain a career in professional hockey. And I think those are the type of coaches that this team needs going forward, because the Sabres are going to be young. They're still a young team. So if you do bring in one of these guys, I think it'll work out just fine. 803-0550-1888-550-2550. We'll step aside here because I got Cam Robinson. He's going to join us from the West Coast right now. He's going to be joining us here on the Western Hotline after this break. We'll get his thoughts on the 2021 NHL draft class, and maybe we'll squeeze in a thought or two from people on the coaching search in the final segment of the show. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today. Andrew and Craig are off for Memorial Day weekend. They'll be back on Tuesday, and you're listening to WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back into WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here, filling in for the Instigators this morning. They're off for Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody as well. Joining me right now on the Western Hotline, I have the pleasure of introducing Cam Robinson. He is from EliteProspects.com, and he joins me right here on WGR. Cam, thanks again for taking the time this morning to join me here, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, Brayton.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into the draft talk, I do want to get your thoughts on the current state of the Sabres right now and just where you think things are going for the organization after another last-place finish in the overall standings this year. They're going to be drafting with a top-three pick again in the 2021 NHL draft. Just your thoughts from afar on what's going on here in Buffalo.
I can't be overly positive, unfortunately, from the glimpse that I have from afar. It does seem like that's been an exceptionally long rebuild there. I expected, you know, Rasmus Dahlin to take a huge step this season. That didn't happen, obviously. You know, Eichel being injured and now the talk of him wanting out. It's stalling another rebuild sort of thing. And so, you know, the perspective from outside of the area is that it's an organization kind of in turmoil here, and that it needs someone to right the ship and to grab a hold of it and secure everything. And, you know, that's going to be through drafting and developing and supporting those young players with quality veterans and getting people to buy into, you know, the organization, the city, and long-term success. And that's not an easy fix. That's a chemistry thing. That's a culture thing. It's losing has a way of permeating into a system, even for young kids coming up that haven't been experiencing it for too long. So a kid like Dylan Cousins, you know, it won't take long before that attitude kind of just sucks its way into everybody. And so you got to change that. And if I had all the answers, I'm sure I'd have a higher paying job right now than I do. But I hope that adding another top pick this year to join with, you know, Cousins and Jack Quinn and obviously some of the young talent that are already on the roster right now will help to take steps in that direction.
What do you think the chances are that Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, and or Rasmus Ristolainen are part of this group at the start of the 2021-22 season coming up here for the Sabres?
You know, if I had to hedge, I would probably say that one of them is there next season. And I think that's probably going to be Eichel, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think that it's going to be difficult to get the return that the team needs to justify moving him out. Now, I know that his no trade's going to kick in. I believe it's next summer, right? The summer of 22.
Yep.
So, you know, I think they have some time to work on this. It's not like they're under the gun right now to make a move in the offseason. That's usually when you move big talents like him because teams are able to be more flexible with the cap and make things work. So if they get an offer from the Kings or the Rangers, I'm sure they'd love to get him out of the conference, especially out of the division. So if, you know, a team like LA or Anaheim comes knocking and they offer value, then sure, I could see them moving him. But, you know, I'm sure they don't want to be the Bruins after they moved Joe Thornton. And when you look at the return, and it's laughable now. And so you're probably never going to get the return you absolutely want or the value that should come along with a player like Jack Eichel. But if you can get close to that, then sure, they can move him. But I think it's more likely that Sam Reinhart is the guy that moves and Ristolainen moves, because I think those pieces will be less cumbersome for teams to take on cap-wise, and the packages don't have to be so massive and inclusive for it. So, yeah, I'll say that one's there, but, you know, if all three are there or all three are gone, I wouldn't be that shocked.
Cam Robinson, Director of Film Scouting for EliteProspects.com, joining us here on the West Her Hotline. All right, Cam, so let's get into the draft talk. Yesterday, the NHL Central Scouting released their final rankings for the 2021 NHL Draft, and I don't know if it's any surprise to you, but Owen Power happens to be the number one North American skater. Just what are your thoughts on him overall as a player and kind of where you think he projects to turn out as an NHL prospect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I recently released a fairly deep dive article on Owen Power where I spent, you know, countless hours watching his tape, rewatching his tape, breaking it down. I think he's going to be a good player. So I've kind of gone up and down on him a little bit. When he was with the Chicago Steel last season, he was very, very good. That team was incredible, though. They, you know, they lost a handful of games the entire season. They would have waltzed to a championship as they did this year, too, without him. And I had very high hopes. I thought that, you know, potentially this could be, you know, the comparisons of Victor Hedman were kind of running around, and they still get tossed around this year, too. I don't think he has that level of offensive upside at this point anyways. He hasn't shown, especially as an 0-2 birthday kid. He's a little bit older. I think that he's going to be a very good stopper, though. I think he's going to be someone who is going to be a big headache for teams and forwards coming down through the neutral zone and trying to get across that blue line. I think he's going to have that long reach. He has some physicality, and I think that that's only going to grow and burgeon inside of him, too, and that's only going to add another element. He skates very, very well for a man his size at 6'6", 215 pounds. He's not overly quick. The legs don't move a mile a minute as some of these smaller guys do, but every stride is very forceful, very powerful. He has nice body mechanics for it. I think he's going to be a good player. I think that this is not the year to get first overall if you're looking for a game changer, organizational pillar, a la, you know, what Dahlin was and should become too when you guys grabbed him in 2018. But he's going to be a very good player. I think he's an extremely safe floor as a, you know, top four guy. I think he can be a top pairing player, but I don't think he's going to be a franchise defender. And that's not a knock on him. That's just kind of the what we're looking at in this class is that there really isn't any true game breakers that are obvious at this point. And, you know, development isn't always linear. There might be someone who takes massive strides in the next, you know, 18 months and becomes that superstar player. And maybe it's Owen Power. My money probably wouldn't be on him to get to that level, but anything's possible.
Yeah, you mentioned the overall prospects of this 2021 draft class. I probably should have asked you this right off the bat before we got into Owen Power, but do you see anybody in this draft class being NHL ready from day one? Because in years past, we've always known that the number one pick usually is that guy who is NHL ready, can jump in right away. Alexi Lafreniere last year, Jack Hughes the year before, and of course Rasmus Dahlin back in 2018. But does this draft class have any player that can make that jump, or do you think that everybody in the first round of this class is more likely to go back and play in juniors, in college, or wherever they're playing over in Europe and get one more year playing there before making the jump to the NHL?
Yeah, you know, I think there are some players that would be ready to take the next step to the NHL and play in a depth role and get that experience. And whether or not that's best for their development, it will be yet to be seen. But I don't know if we've ever had a class that comes off the draft floor and nobody steps into the NHL. There's usually, you know, a couple at the top and then one or two surprise players that does it a la Ryan O'Reilly 100 years ago. But, you know, I think Power's one of those players that could, with his size and his skating and his strong defensive habits, that he could be a player that you could slide into your bottom pair next season and give him those experiences. You know, his teammate there at Michigan, I think Matty Beniers, is a similar type of player. He's got the speed. He's not a small player. He's not massive, but he's physically, I think he could handle himself in the NHL next season. You know, I think both those guys would be best served to go back to the NCAA for another season and really take another step before coming over. I know a kid, Brant Clark, another one who I've spent a great deal of time scouting and speaking to, and he has a strong desire to make the NHL next season. And that's a lofty goal. And I'm sure several of these players do that their number one goal is to make the NHL right away. But, you know, there's no obvious player that I think could step right in. William Eklund, who had, you know, a ton of success in the SHL this season. You know, he outplayed Alexander Holtz and Lucas Raymond. That he's another one. I think that he has the skills that if you decided to plunk him into an NHL roster next season on your third line, I think he could keep his head above water. Is that best for his long-term development? I'm not sure.
Cam Robinson joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Cam is the Director of Film Scouting for EliteProspects.com. Sticking with the defense here for a second, Cam, this class of draft picks and draft prospects, it seems like there's a good group of defensive prospects that are right there in that top 10, top 15 range. Who else aside from Owen Power stands out to you in this class as a top pairing defenseman or a potential guy that should really develop into being one of the top defensemen in the NHL in time?
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Brant Clark. He's personally my favorite defenseman in this group. He doesn't have that pure upside of an Owen Power because of Power size and skating ability, but he is the smartest player in this draft for my money. And a kid on the right side, he's 6'2". He's not an elite skater. Technically, his fundamentals aren't perfect. He does kind of cave in a little bit at the knees, but he has terrific edge work. And then again, that intelligence, how he understands what he's good at and what he's not. And he can manipulate his body. He has great edges. He turns them out into a 10-2 Mohawk stride, and he can be elusive and manipulative, and he has head fakes. And so I think he's another one who has great two-way upside, offense and defense. I think his offense will translate better than Owen Power's will. And again, on the right side, like those are the type of players that you jump on early. So for me, Brant Clark is a player who has top pairing upside. Again, another one who I think is pretty safe to be a top four guy. And then, you know, everything after that will be kind of be cream. You know, Simon Edvinson, he's a player that I'm not especially high on. I think he's more of someone who should go around, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 in that area, but 6'5", skates very well, has a ton of offensive instincts. So this is one of these guys that he's kind of an unbridled stallion that you need to put a harness on because he wants to rush every single opportunity he can. And, you know, oftentimes he'll run himself into trouble, but I'd rather try to put the brakes on a player than try to inspire them to get going. So he's another one. He's really interesting. I think there's some, you know, a little more bust to go with his boom. But he's another one that if things break right, he could be a really interesting player. If he could get the mind to link up with all the physical attributes that he has, which is never easy. I prefer the mind sometimes, but if he can put that together, I think he's got a high upside. And then, you know, a kid who's probably one of the youngest ones in the group is Luke Hughes. We know the Hughes name from New Jersey and with Jack and Quinn in Vancouver is that he's an excellent skater. He has had a pretty intense injury where the word is that he tore tendons off his foot and his ankle, which is not going to be an easy one to recover from. He's been in a boot for several months now, a couple of months anyways. And so, for someone who relies on his skating so much, hopefully that doesn't hinder him too much in the long term. But the thing with him is that, he's got the bloodlines. He's 6'2", unlike his brothers. He's not small. He's an excellent skater. He's not as shifty as Jack or Quinn, but in a straight line, he's extremely smooth, and he'll be just cause fits in transition for teams to either lead the rush or jump in as a fourth forward type option. He's not as crafty or creative, but I think he's got more time too. He's, like I said, he's a late 03, so he's very, very young for this class, and so his upside is really high too. And I think he's another one that could potentially be a top pairing guy, probably a safer second pairing. I don't think the offense is going to be as high as some of these others, but he's a good player too, and he's going to be a good option in that top 10.
All right, Cam, let's move on to the forwards here. And the top-ranked forward in the North American group of skaters by NHL Central Scouting is Mason McTavish. And this is a guy that I don't think has really gotten necessarily talked about all so much just because he didn't get the chance to play in the OHL this year with Peterborough. He goes over to Switzerland and scores 9 goals in 13 games, which is pretty impressive for their second-tier league. But what do you like about his game and what he might be bringing to the table if the Sabres perhaps look at him with one of the top three picks?
Yeah, I love seeing Mason McTavish up that high on this board here too, because I've been hammering the table at EP Ringside for a while now to get him higher and higher up our board. He's, outside of Matty Beniers, he's the only pure center in that top 10 or 12. He's got the size. He has a really, really nice release. So he can beat you in a number of ways. And often we see our center prospects or our center players are more of a pass first type. Sometimes they'll play that bumper spot on the PP and can bounce out and finish quickly. But he does that all the time. And so, he initiates contact. He creates pockets for himself with that contact to handle the puck. He uses his skates extremely well. He manipulates his body. I think he's really good at those little short passes under pressure. He's quick. He's adaptable. He can do backhand saucers, works the give and goes really, really well. And then on the defensive side of things, he's very advanced defensively. So he reloads high and he doesn't cheat. He's got a great stick, scans all the time. He's good at switches too. So these are pro level qualities. When I was talking about some players that I think could step into the NHL, he's another one. If he didn't lose out on his, he only had a partial season this year. If he could have had a full season, I think he might have even been better positioned to work to step into an NHL lineup next year. But he's definitely one that should mention that. I think, some of the things he still needs to work on is, he has got a bit of an upright stance with his skating. So he's not overly explosive. I think he's going to be more of an average NHL skater. He doesn't have high-end creation skills with the puck, so he's not going to dangle a bunch of people too much. But he's more of a problem solver. So once he finds himself in a situation, he can quickly assess it and solve that problem. I would like to see him plan a little bit more too. So there's just little nuances to his game, but I'm really happy to see him up that high, because I was just having a discussion with a group of scouts just yesterday, and one of them figured that there'd be no problem that McTavish would be there around 9 or 10. And I said, I'm not going to be surprised if he goes 2 or 3. I think that there's going to be a team, depending on who's going to be at that spot looking for a center, he's going to be high on some team boards.
What about William Eklund? I know we talked a little bit about him potentially being ready for the NHL right off the bat, but he's the number one international ranked skater by NHL Central Scouting. Where do you rank him personally in your own rankings? And just how do you see him developing as an NHL-type player going forward?
Yeah, I've got him in that 4-5 spot right now. Him and McTavish have kind of bounced around on my personal list here for a while. I've had him as high as 1, as low as kind of 6 or 7. So he's never really dropped too far down my list. He plays with terrific pace. So dynamic, high pace of play. He has really great habits when it comes to skating. He's manipulative. He has deception. So, he uses head fakes and hesitations, and he can freeze opponents. Really great peripheral vision. So his scanning habits and high-level anticipation, he can hit that trailer with a nice, slip pass or a saucer cross crease. Really high-end distributor, too. His small area game, too. He's got cutbacks, a punch cut and change of direction. He has a feel for pressure, and another one who can absorb contact to create those pockets of space and then bounce away and give himself even more room. He's unafraid to carry the puck into the middle of the ice. He supports the play well, anticipates defensive rotation. So he's a really advanced player. It's interesting that some of the guys I talked to in Sweden are a little bit lower on him, and they think he's more of a second-line type, where, you know, some over here in North America feel that he has that top-line upside. And I think I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I think where his upside is, he could be a first-line winger. Probably the more likely safe estimation is that he's going to be more of a second-line contributor who can drive play, and he can create, and he won't be, you know, a detriment defensively for you. He can probably work all the special teams. So he's going to be a really nice all-around player. And then, you know, if things kind of break right for him, he could be that impactful first line, maybe more of a passenger on a first line than that, you know, number one guy that you're leaning on.
Do you see him developing more as a center at the NHL level, or do you think he's better fit to be on the wing?
I think he's a winger at the NHL level. Okay.
Cam, real quick before we wrap things up here, I did want to ask you just kind of the rest of the best of the forwards group. Just, you know, is there anyone that you could see maybe surprisingly jump up into the top five range, or somebody that could be looked at by a team like the Sabres? And let's say that the Sabres maybe trade down from their position wherever they may be in the top three. If they trade down, who are some of maybe the players that they could look at in the forward group that would interest them in around that 5-6 range?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a kid like Kent Johnson, who was highly ranked there by Central Scouting, he's a really slippery playmaker, great puck skills, really offensively geared. I was actually a little surprised that his game translated so effectively to the NCAA this year as a raw rookie. Another 0-2 born kid, so a little bit older for this class, but if you're taking him early, you're betting big on the upside because, you know, as we're talking about pure offensive instincts and puck skills, he's probably top of this class. But if things don't break right for him offensively, he doesn't have the chops to play in a bottom six role. So then you're kind of that tweener quadruple A kid. So there is some risk with him. Dylan Gunther, I think that he's, you know, the way he tore apart the WHL in the bubble there, granted he was playing some weaker teams for the Oil Kings there, but he's got the best release in the draft. He loves to get it off in flight, which is, you know, very pro-translatable because you're not going to have much time and space to get into those soft areas of the ice. I think he's someone that we could see go early, or if, you know, Buffalo decides to slide back. Fabian Lysell, he had a pretty decent U18s where he showcased that terrific speed. The kid plays with his jersey flapping 100% of the time. You're never going to get a shift off from him. Another one that I think a team could fall in love with, or they could see him and be like, he's all wheels and he's not really getting a ton done. I'll give you one dark horse, too, that I think could surprise some people and get in there really high is Fyodor Svechkov. So he's a Russian. He's a center. He's a terrific two-way player who I think has a lot of untapped offensive upside. And at the U18s, we saw some of that when he was playing with some high-level offensive players, that he can make those small area plays. He has good vision. He has good puck skills, but he's also the best, probably the best, two-way defensive center in the draft too. So you're getting a kid who you know is going to be an NHL player for your team down the middle, and I think he has that untapped offensive upside. You know, he's kind of my bet to surprise and maybe jump up into that top 10 and maybe even creep into that top 5.
Very good. Well, Cam, I can't let you go without getting a question in on the 2023 draft class. I know the 2022 draft class, it's good in itself, but I mean, I've kind of teased a little bit at just how good the top two of the 2023 draft class is going to be, with Connor Bedard and Matvei Michkov either going 1-2. But just, I want to get your thoughts because you've been outspoken on Twitter about it. And just, what are your feelings about the top two players of this draft class and just how good they really are?
They're ridiculous. It is. It's fun to see. It's exciting to watch them come up together. It's a shame that Michkov is going to be in the KHL until 2026. So we're going to have a long wait to see him actually come in and start battling Bedard in the NHL. But, you know, we're looking at an Ovechkin-Crosby-like career arc of these two. That's how good they are. So Michkov is, you know, better than Kucherov was at the same age, at the same level. He broke all of his records this year in the MHL. Connor Bedard, you know, he's the Canadian, the center, he's got the speed, he's got everything. He's going to go first overall. He would, I would think, go first overall, even if they were both coming to the NHL the next year. But having Michkov sign that extension in with SKA and the KHL, that's going to definitely bump him down to number two. But no, they're both trending to be generational talents. And to have two of those step into the league, you know, within relative close proximity to each other, but they're going to be going head to head. Hopefully they're in the same division. I think that would be tremendous, and we could have a similar thing with Sid and Ovi. But you know, if you're looking at bottom out, you know, 2022 to get Shane Wright, you know, that's going to be a good class too. But 2023 you want a top two pick. And even if you're not happy about picking number two and having to wait 3 years for Mishkov, you're going to be okay with it because you wait on a talent like that.
Cam, why don't you get a quick plug-in for your website and what you are working on at EliteProspects.com?
Yeah, for sure. We are grinding away for our annual draft guide, which is going to come out on June 16th. So it's all-encompassing. We show our game reports. We give synopsis of the players and their skill levels and their player reports, our rankings. So we'll have our final rankings meeting here in about a week, I guess, too, where we'll sit down and we film it, and it's a lot of fun, too. So check that out. You know, if you're a subscriber to Elite Prospects, then you will get access to our draft guide right away. And, you know, obviously I work for the company, but I was a subscriber before they brought me on a couple years ago too. So I was also a supporter of the work before I joined. So I recommend everybody to take a look at that. And, yeah, you can check me out on Twitter at @hockey_Robinson, where I'm usually being cheeky or talking about prospects.
Very good. Cam, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're out on the West Coast. So thanks again for joining me and hope you enjoy your weekend and, enjoy draft time for you.
I will. Always, it's my Christmas season, so it's always going to be fun.
Absolutely. Cam Robinson from EliteProspects.com joining me here on the Wester Hotline. We'll step aside, take a timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the weekend here on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My thanks again to David Pagnotta from the4thperiod.com joining me in the 10 o'clock hour. And I also thank Cam Robinson for joining me just last segment. In case you missed both of those interviews, they will be available on demand at WGR550.com. And if you want to re-listen to it immediately, well, you can use the radio rewind function on the Odyssey app or at odyssey.com/WGR550 or WGR550.com. Thanks again to Franklin Heinzman for producing today's show. Hope everybody enjoys your Memorial Day weekend. Stay warm out there, especially today. And as the weekend goes, have fun with your family, your friends, however you're electing to hang out this Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy it. Again, a reminder, we are off on Monday from our regular scheduled programming. We will be back on Tuesday. And coming up next, One Bills Live is off, so Joe DiBiase is filling in for the next 3 hours to talk plenty of Bills football, some Sabres hockey with you, and more. All coming up next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.